From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as you know, we have been teaching through St. Matthew's Gospel. But before we go back to where we left off, I'd like to jump forward to Matthew's account of Palm Sunday. By the way, the Western Christian Church celebrated Palm Sunday yesterday. But if you miss the significance of this celebration, there is the potential for a do-over. I say that because Eastern Christianity celebrates Palm Sunday almost an entire month after, and that is right around April 25th. In fact, I think it is April 25th. And that's due to the fact that Eastern and Western Christianity have different liturgical calendars. The Western Church follows the Gregorian calendar, a calendar decreed by Pope Gregory the 13th in 1582, while the Eastern Church still follows the older Julian calendar, named, of course, for Julius Caesar, who introduced it in 46 BC. Now, the reasons for the different calendars are very interesting. The Julian calendar is less scientifically accurate in that it doesn't reflect the actual time it takes for the Earth to revolve around the sun. It also inserts a leap year every 4 years, which results in, of course, too many leap years. Now, while there is a revised Julian calendar, which is even more accurate than the Gregorian calendar, most Orthodox Christians continue to follow the old Julian calendar, at least when it comes to Pascha. Now, the primary reason for this is that the Eastern Orthodox Church represents the church of the seven ecumenical councils, the first of which is the Council of Nicaea, which mandated that Pascha chronologically follow the Jewish Passover. Now, there's a reason for that. It's probably due to the fact that the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord took place after he entered Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. At any rate, the East adheres to this mandate. Western Christianity does not. So on occasion, Western Pascha or Easter precedes the Jewish Passover. What really matters for this discussion is that we don't pass by Palm Sunday without regarding its transcendently important spiritual implications. This is an important day on which we commemorate Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I want to read the account in Matthew chapter 21, and I hope you'll read it again and again. This is the account where Jesus sends two disciples. They're at the Mount of Olives. He sends them into the village, and he tells them that they're going to find a donkey tied to a colt. He says, "Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." And all of that was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt. They laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the ground. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." You know, the crowd surrounding Jesus was well aware of his poignant parables. They knew about his powerful preaching, his marvelous miracles, especially the resurrection of Lazarus. Jewish nationalism, of course, was in full throat, and the multitudes were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They were saying this for a reason. They were weary of Roman occupation. They were anxious. They were stressed. They expectantly urged the miracle-working Messiah to lead a righteous rebellion against their oppressive occupiers. If Jesus could raise the dead, he could just as easily liberate them from the scourge of Rome. He could resurrect the Davidic kingdom, a kingdom torn asunder by Assyrian and Babylonian superpowers. Jesus, however, had not come to usher in an earthly theocratic kingdom. God in human flesh came instead to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. Thus on Palm Sunday, we celebrate Jesus riding into Jerusalem, not as a political Messiah, but rather in humility and peace, in fulfillment of Zechariah's famed prophecy. "Behold, your king comes to you. He is righteous and saving. He is gentle and mounted upon a donkey, even a young foal." Christ's entrance into Jerusalem announced the establishment of the kingdom of God. It was a foretaste of the time that he will gather his perfected bride and carry her over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Christ's message is not one that conveys earthly might, but rather the glorious heavenly reality that the meek shall inherit the earth. In his meekness, the great Prince of Peace enters the eternal city, riding only on a donkey. In the famous icon of Palm Sunday, our Lord is seated on a colt, the foal of a donkey, and with his right hand, he blesses the people, crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And in his left hand, he holds a scroll which symbolizes that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, the prophets who prophesied the coming of Messiah, the very king who, as the balm of Gilead, redeems us from the scourge of sin and death. The colt he rides alongside the donkey represent faithful Jews alongside Gentiles who pass from unbelief to faith as the one people of God. Well, when we come back from the break, I want to say a bit more about the donkey and the colt that Jesus instructs his disciples to bring to him from the town of Bethpage. This is noteworthy in that skeptics and infidels have seized upon this very passage to designate Matthew's account of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem as not only absurd, but the stuff of myths and fables. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I do want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. By doing so, they're touching the lives of people across this planet. Be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Are you seeking renewal in your life during these uncertain days? Hank Hanegraaff highly recommends reading Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Drawing deeply from Scripture and the wisdom of the ancient church, Renewing You will equip you to grow in relationship with the lover of your soul, expel guilt, receive peace, nurture life in personal relationships, and aspire to spiritual and emotional maturity for the greater benefit of the kingdom of God. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan, call 888-7000-CRI, and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or you can visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just 2 of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And as I said before the break, as we conclude this special broadcast on our Palm Sunday celebrations, I want to consider one of the many objections that skeptics raise with respect to the veracity of Matthew's gospel. And it has to do with the very passage that I read before the break, the question of how many donkeys Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Because believe it or not, a good number of fundamentalists on the left suppose Matthew has Jesus riding two asses into Jerusalem. Now, if you look into the dictionary, you're going to discover two primary definitions for the word ass. The first is a donkey. The second is, well, it's a vain, self-important, silly, or aggressively stupid person. In reading through the websites attempting to debunk the Bible on the basis of the number of asses Jesus rode into Jerusalem, both definitions immediately spring to mind. One website actually appends the word absurd to Matthew's rendering of Palm Sunday. They call it absurd. This is what the website says. In three of the four accounts of the triumphal entry, Jesus rides a single donkey. Matthew, though, apparently misunderstands the prophecy and rather absurdly has Jesus ride two donkeys. Now, for the sake of plain old common sense, I should note that wherever there are two animals, there is always one animal. If Mark, Luke, and John had stipulated only one donkey while Matthew stated more than one donkey, well, we'd be faced with an obvious contradiction. Instead, the complementary details provided by the four gospel writers serve to flesh out the rest of the story. When St. Matthew spoke of two asses, he did so advisedly, not absurdly. In other words, St. Matthew was using the presence of two animals for a purpose. It was a way of depicting faithful Jews and faithful Gentiles together through the mission and ministry of Jesus. Together they became one body. Far from contradictory, the biblical imagery is complex and awe-inspiring. Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem in a horse and chariot. He didn't come as a conquering king, but he rode on an animal signifying peace and humility. The message is not one that conveys earthly might, but rather one that conveys the heavenly reality that the meek will inherit the earth. While Matthew did say that the disciples placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them, this isn't to say that Jesus rode into Jerusalem sitting on two animals simultaneously, as though his triumphal entry were akin to a clown act. Straightforward reading of the text is that the disciples placed their cloaks on two animals, and Jesus sat upon them, meaning that he sat upon the cloaks. But even if the word them is taken to refer to both animals, it would hardly be absurd. When we say that the president rode into Washington in a motorcade, only the most entrenched literalist supposes that he was sitting in multiple vehicles simultaneously. Absurdly, therefore, does not apply to Matthew, but rather to myopic fundamentalists bent on rendering the majestic tapestry of Scripture in wooden, literalistic fashion. And remember that in contrast to spoofers, scholars look for a reliable core set of facts to validate historical narratives. If each of the gospel writers, if each of them presented their accounts in identical fashion, we would quite justifiably wonder about the matter of collusion. Instead, what we have are complementary details that serve as fibers in an unparalleled tapestry. Now, this is important that a good number of modern-day scholars adamantly proclaim that the New Testament contains four different and sometimes contradictory versions of the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me just cite one of the alleged contradictions, because this is most frequently cited, and it involves the female discoverers of the empty tomb. According to Matthew, it is said, the discoverers were Mary Magdalene and another Mary. Mark says that they were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. And then Luke claims Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others. And of course, John focuses solely on Mary Magdalene. Now, if you are to provide a defensible argument against this kind of an assertion, I think it's first helpful to point out that the four accounts are complementary rather than contradictory. They complement one another. You know, if John had stipulated that Mary Magdalene was the only female to discover the empty tomb, and the other Gospels claimed that more than one woman was involved, well, then we would be faced with an obvious contradiction. Instead, the complementary details that the four gospel writers provide simply serve to flesh out, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Credible scholars, they always look for a reliable core set of facts, because they're trying to validate historical accounts. So they look at these facts, and that reliable core set validates the accounts. If each of the gospel writers presented exactly the same secondary details in exactly the same manner, well, the critics would dismiss their accounts, and probably quite rightly, on the basis of collusion. But that's not what we have. Instead, the Gospels provide unique yet mutually consistent perspectives on the events that they chronicle. And thus today, a consensus of credible scholars consider the core set of facts presented by the Gospel writers to be authentic, reliable, and the unique perspectives provided by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preclude the possibility of collusion. I love this from an apologetic standpoint because, again, we're not making an apology, we're making a defense of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And when we talk about something like Palm Sunday, we want to know that what we find in God's Word is historic and evidential, And thus we hold to the Palm Sunday celebration, not in blind faith, but rather faith founded on a refutable fact. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Well, thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we reminisce on Palm Sunday for those that celebrated it yesterday and look forward to Palm Sunday for Eastern Christians all over the world who will be celebrating it shortly. And of course, after Palm Sunday, we have the greatest of all celebrations, the celebration of Easter or Pascha, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, which ensures that we too will rise from the dead one day, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
If you found the last year challenging, you're not alone. In fact, millions believe that this last year has been the most brutal year of their lives. Nonstop news of COVID-19's devastation, coupled with our deepening culture wars, has wreaked havoc on our world. Sadly, many have surrendered to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist. Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.